to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
Church over the last months. I'm just drinking all your gorgeous faces in. It's wonderful. Ah, it's a nice drink. yes, I've just been in Malaysia. We did our first Shears conference in Asia, and it was just incredible. You know, it's such a privilege as senior pastor to get around all the different locations of Hope City Church around the world. And God is doing something absolutely amazing. I just wish I could put you all on a plane. You're going, yes, please. I could take you all on a plane and you could see what God is doing in Africa and in Frankfurt and in Malaysia. It's absolutely awesome what God is doing. I apologize for my husband. Last Sunday he got up and said he's not a jet setter, but he actually forgot that he was flying to Los Angeles on Friday. Which is the story of Dave's life, because the way Dave operates his life is he pretends it's not happening. And people like me remind him at about midnight on Thursday night that he ought to pack because he's leaving at 5 a.m. You know, one time, church, he got to Australia because he packs at the last minute because he likes to pretend his life's not so busy. And he rang me from Sydney once and he said, Jen, I forgot to pack any trousers. I just laughed. I thought it was really funny. I said, you know, there's a thing called shops. Go do that. There's a whole other story about that. But anyway, I'll tell you. So Dave, recently, I think he told you last Sunday, he went to Australia, but it took him 60 hours to get there because, long, long story, he got stuck in Dubai. And then when he got to Australia, he didn't get his luggage for 9 days. So Dave's not good at looking at price tags. I'm the good one in our relationship for that. Dave's not. So we got the bill this week for everything that he bought in that week to wear. And I'm thinking, that travel insurance ain't covering that. Let me tell you now. Bless him, I need to confiscate his cards. Speaking of Dave, when I married Dave, when I was 19 years old, on the 14th of December 1985, before many of you were even born, most of you probably were even born, I married Dave not realizing what I was getting into. Because the older he's got, the more his quirkiness and his eccentricity has developed. When I married him, I thought I was marrying a nice, stable, civil engineer with a nice company car and just a nice life. No, that didn't happen. In his 40s, Dave got more and more eccentric and quirky, and life is an adventure, church. You should be feeling for me being the stability in this man's life, because that's basically what I am. I am the common sense in the relationship, and he's just out there. And the more that I live with my wonderful husband of 30 years, the more I realize I don't know about him, because he just constantly surprises me. Like, where did you come up with that? Like, and a lot of stuff he says at home, I'll say, Dave, you can't say that from a pulpit, Dave, because he comes up with what I call Dave overgeneralizations and sort of just, yes, everybody's going, yes. So you should be thanking me, church, for keeping your pastor sane. But I'm saying that to say that the more I know him, the more I realize I don't know him. And, you know, it's the same with our walk with God. The more that I get to know God, the more I realize I don't know him at all. And the older I get, it just increases my hunger for God in the most incredible way. Like, I was lying in bed last night and I was just lying there going, Father, I just wish I could see you. Like, you know, you look at the clouds, don't you? Like, God, you're out there. And it's just so magnificent. And my hunger just grows and grows and grows. And I came across this amazing scripture in Isaiah 48, verse 6 to 7. It says, "From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They are created now and not long ago. You've not heard of them before today, so you cannot say, 'Yes, I knew of them.'" Church, God has got more for your life. God has got stuff that He wants to reveal to your life. God has got stuff He wants to do through your life. God has got stuff to reveal to this church. God has got stuff that He wants to do through this church. And we can't say we've seen it because we don't know about it yet. And I don't know about you, that fills me with anticipation and faith over an awesome future. The sound of the future. And you know, when I was 16 years old, I remember this, I was in this amazing church in Brisbane. And this guy came to our church. And he'd never preached anywhere outside of his own little church before. And he came with a beard and a big moustache. And his name was Brian Houston. And this young man, and he prophesied these lines over me from Jeremiah 33, verse 3. He says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would whet our appetite for the future. I pray, oh God, that we would realize this morning there is so much more of you that we've never touched. And Father, I pray that you'd give us a hunger and a faith for the future. I pray today, Lord God, that we would leave this place changed forever. God, that you would speak into our hearts and you would put an anticipation within us, oh God, that would change our perspective on everything. Father, I pray that you would give us all the gift of faith today. God, faith that would literally call things that are not as though they were. Faith, oh God, today that will pull the future into the present. I pray that you would change us from the inside out. And right now, Lord Jesus, I speak in the name of Jesus, over the principalities and powers that try to bind our nation, oh God, and the principalities and powers that try to bind and hold our thoughts to smallness. And Father, I prophesy largeness, expanse, growth over our hearts and minds and over the spiritual atmosphere, over this city, and oh God, over this nation in the name of Jesus. I better stop, or I'm winding up. I'm very aware this morning, and I was aware in the first service that I, as I preach today, am prophesying over a spirit. And it's a spirit of smallness that keeps us incapacitated. It's a spirit of smallness and small thinking that keeps our nation and the church in this nation small. And I'm prophesying over it this morning in Jesus' name that our expanse and our horizon will literally change in the name of Jesus. Anybody with me this morning? That our expanse and our faith would grow and go somewhere to believe God for stuff. Because it's very easy for our faith to be shrunk to what we see. Instead, our faith to go with what we have not seen. It struck me in my Bible I was reading and thinking about the new season. In the Bible, before God did something amazing, there was always a new sound. You think about it in the book of Acts, and it said, "A sound of a rushing mighty wind came and filled the place, and all the people were filled with the Holy Spirit." And then I thought of Gideon, and he was hidden away in a cave. And I'll read you the passage of scripture in a moment. He was hidden away in a cave, hiding from the enemy. And God spoke to Gideon, and I love this one line of scripture. And it says, Judges 6, verse 34. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet." Now, I don't know about you, you're all looking really serious at me. I read that line for what it is. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Now, you think when the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody, they would prophesy a word, or they would be blessed and highly favored amongst men, and he blew a trumpet. So that's like someone today, like Lois here, which is wonderful to have her back up worshiping, The Spirit of God comes upon Lois and she pulls out trumpet out of her back pocket and gives it a good poop poop. You would think she's weird. You would think she'd lost the plot. But she was bringing a new sound. May not be a good sound, but a new sound. It was a completely new sound. And then everybody joined in, all the men that were with him, and blew the sound of a trumpet. And it ushered in an incredible victory. There was a new sound before the new victory. And I would suggest in our lives that a new sound always precedes a breakthrough. So how do we go about bringing about that new sound into our lives and into the life of our church? It's time for a new sound. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, it's time for a new sound. Your voice is irritating me. It's time you spoke differently. It's time for a new sound. A new sound always comes before a breakthrough. It's our sound to create. Do you know, sometimes we're waiting for God, but he's waiting for us. And I believe in my spirit this morning, I can see God literally standing on the edge of heaven saying, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to create in this house, in your life. I'm waiting this morning for you to create that new sound that will precipitate incredible breakthrough. And so I'm going to show you this morning how we in this house can create that new sound. Is that good? I am believing in my spirit that today marks the start of a radical change. Did you hear me? I'm believing, I've been praying this week, that this morning will begin the start of a radical change. That something will happen in our spirits. That this wasn't a decorating a seat Sunday. That this was a Sunday that we radically met with God and our lives were changed forever. And because of us meeting in the house of God today, myriads of lives change. Come on. I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know what you're waiting for. We're believing God for mighty change. The trouble with my preaching is this. I exhaust myself. So the first thing we need to change is the sound of our mouths. There's a beautiful young woman in this church that when she came in to Hope City when she first got saved, she had a wonderful nickname. And her nickname was Sarah Swearer. Now there was a reason why her nickname was Sarah Swearer. It's what it says on the tin. Basically, this wonderful woman of God had a very fruity vocabulary. And her meeting with God and by the Holy Spirit, which we're very grateful for, her language cleaned up by the power of God. But I would suggest that many of us daily have swear words of doubt and faith and faithlessness on our lips. And it's time we changed and brought in the words of faith upon our mouths. Yorkshire is a very interesting place for this. I love Yorkshire. I've lived here 25 years. It's an interesting place, though. So I go to get stuff altered at Johnson's Cleaners at Crystal Peaks. And I prepare myself every time I go because I know when I go that the lady at the desk will tell me that that alteration is not possible. Every single time I've gone to Johnson's Cleaners Alterations Department for the last 5 years, the lady has said the same thing. Ooh. I tried it in the first service. Oh, love. It's not good. Oh, love. No. What did I say the first? I can't even remember. My Yorkshire accent after all this time is really not developed. I don't think. I don't think that it's possible to do that alteration. Love. Do you know, you guys are so shallow, because in the first service, the loudest cheer in the entire message wasn't to the things of faith, it was to that accent. So this lady, I'm ready for her every time, right? So I went in 2 days ago, I was with Haley. I'm like, Haley, get ready for this. And exactly the same. And all it was cutting a curtain in half and doing an edge. She said, oh, the edge needs to be that big. I said, well, it could be that big, wouldn't it? Oh, love. I don't know whether that can be done. And I said to her, yes, it can. And you know, not once in the last 5 years has it one ever not been done. Because there's an interesting attitude / spiritual power over this region that tries to speak into our spirit and make us small and put the words on our mouth that say it is not possible. And I'm here today in Jesus' name to say, let us clean up our mouths by the power of God and begin to speak faith over that which is in our lives. There's this amazing verse in Proverbs 18:20-21. From the fruit of their mouths, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Enid Stewart, my mum, used to say to me, in an Australian accent, if you can't say anything nice, say nothing at all. If you can't fill your mouths with faith, shut your mouth until you can. Because we want to create an environment, a hothouse of faith, where we're beginning to speak salvation, healing, the power of God, new buildings, churches, favor, influence, and blessing. Let us begin to speak in the heavenly realms that which is in our spirit, and don't allow our mouths to be filled with junk. Come on, it's time, church, for us to begin to speak faith into the heavenly realms. Let's foster a new sound. The second thing we need to do, the sound that needs to change, is we need to change the sound of our generosity. I'm going to play you a very quick sound. And this sound is the sound of my childhood. Just play that again if you can. That's the sound of my childhood. I was in the Presbyterian church. They had a wooden bowl. And that's what happened. And I remember there was no vision. There was no growth. It was stagnant. And I remember even thinking as a little girl, there's not much ricochet through heaven from that penny dropping. In actual fact, I can remember my mum teaching me a song, "Hear the pennies dropping, listen as they fall. Jesus something, something, Jesus loves them all." I'm like, let's get a new record on. And I remember when I was about 10 or 11, my mum had actually had the first case of AIDS in Australia that she got from a blood transfusion. And she was very unwell when I was 10 years old. And she got hold of her Bible and she believed God. And God completely healed my mum. And she lived till she was 86, 3 years ago. Completely healed her. And I remember she went to the vicar of that church, the church where you could hear the penny drop, and said, "God just healed me." And he said, "We don't believe in healing." So mum said, "Well, we'll be leaving." And I remember our whole family moving. It was the biggest change in my life when I was 11. And God moved us into a church like this. Got radically baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit at 11 years old in this church. And I began to learn a new sound. There's a new sound of generosity. Begin to be a person that lives to be generous. We don't want to be a stagnant church. We want our giving to ricochet through eternity. And you can say to me, because I know what happens when I'm up here, because I've been up here for many, many years, "Oh, you're talking about giving again, Pastor. you're boring me. Well, either I can bore you or you can hear the principle of God and it can change your life forever. Either one of the two. Because when we begin to be a really generous people, God comes and blows us out of the water. Do you know there were times in this church over the 25 years, many times, when we were believing God and we couldn't maybe even pay wages, and we would give away the whole Sunday's offering to a community initiative, believing God. We've done it many times, just believing in faith, and God has always come through, always blessed us, always provided for us. Proverbs 11:25 says, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Do you know there are so many stories that have brought the church to where it is now, and the story that we choose to write from this point on will be the story of the future. Do you know when we bought this building, Dave and I sold this quite nice house we had and brought the profits into the church so we could buy this building. And we downsized into a little terrace house with no heating and a myriad of floral accessories. Carpet, floral, 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 all different florals. It's like a cacophony of a headache in that house. And we just decided to be generous and give to God. And we've just had the awesome opportunity to do it again. We have a rental house that we've just sold, and we're bringing the proceeds in to the dream offering so we can go again, another building. Dave and I are not in lack. We're not in lack. We're people that choose to be generous. In actual fact, my husband is so generous. Some months I dread the credit card bill because he has blessed so many people in the month. So many people. He's the most generous man on the planet. And then God comes and blesses us because we choose to be generous. I'm just not talking about God's house. We need to change our sound here. How about being a people that pay for something for somebody else? How about being the first to the till? How about sneaking up and paying for someone's lunch? Come on, church, let's begin to be a generous people. It doesn't take much. I have a personal trainer once a week because I'm of the age that I really need it. And it doesn't take much to be generous. His girlfriend's having a baby, so I bought him a frame for them to put the scan in because he expected I was going to judge him, so I thought I'll blow him out of the water. Gave him this frame to put the baby's picture, and he hugged me, said, "That is so generous." It was a frame. Yeah. It was a frame. It doesn't take much to be generous, to be living as a person that's living beyond yourself. Choose to change the sound of your generosity, for goodness sake. Yeah, very good. Let's change the way Yorkshire is. There's this thing, isn't it, in Yorkshire, like a Yorkshireman, he watches his pennies. Well, let's be the Yorkshireman that watches them go out of the purse. Yeah. Whew. How amazing would that be if we changed and a whole spiritual realm over a region by being radically generous? And the My Bible says, test me in this. If you're generous, will I not pour out a blessing? And then the tagline, that cannot be contained. It's time we placed ourselves in this first fruit offering in a place that God can come and bless us. We wonder why. God's just saying, I'm just waiting for a sound. I'm just waiting for a sound. The third thing we need to change is the sound of our feet. I'm going to put up on the screen in a moment a wonderful picture. And here it is. This is a typical Australian man, which is why I married an Englishman. So this guy's name is Kevin, and he's from Australia. I can put on a really good Australian accent. You think this is good? No, you haven't heard anything yet. So this is Kevin, and he wears flip-flops most of the time because he couldn't be bothered putting on shoes. And he's got a tinny in his hand and long hair. And I was watching him, because I can't talk like that for long, because I can feel my mum shaking in heaven. I was watching some of these guys walking through the airport in Asia. And there are times that you're embarrassed to be Australian. Because they were dressed like that, right? And they're covered in tattoos. Now, if you've got tattoos, fine. But tattoos on fat don't look as good as tattoos on muscle, right? So there he was walking through the airport like this. Just languid, like no purpose on earth whatsoever. Slightly beshozzled before he even got on the plane. Cap on, sunglasses on the back of his hat. And I was just embarrassed to be Australian, you know? There's times, aren't there, when it's embarrassing to be Australian. There's times I wish I had a British passport, I could just flick it out and look a little bit more cultured than that. But the reason I'm showing you this is there is a languidness about that. And it creeps into our spirit. And we find that our steps have no purpose. We're just drifting. We're just chilling. We're just laid back. Do you know there's nothing about the plan of God that's laid back? Father God sent his son to the earth. It wasn't laid back. It's because he saw the condition of men. And you know, today there's nothing laid back about how God wants us to be. He wants us to have purpose with our feet. And we can get so lazy, and God wants to take us somewhere. We need to put boots on instead of flip-flops. Because if I called them what the Australians call them, you'd have a whole nother picture in your mind right now. So we need to put boots on instead of flip-flops. You know, James talks about how faith without works is dead. You need to step out to step in. You need to be people that step into something for God to give you something new. You know, I'll tell you a little story about something I've done recently. I made a big decision. For those of you that don't know me very well, we have a son, Ryan, Dave and I, who's just turned 25, and he lives in Sydney, Australia. He's just about to release his first album in 2 weeks, absolutely thriving. In the plan of God for his life in Australia. But it's been really hard as a mum. He's been gone 3 years. And he used to be our worship pastor here. Miss him dreadfully. And it's been really hard for me to let go. And so I made a decision, a brave grown-up girl decision, about 4 months ago. And every October, I normally go to Sydney, Australia, to the women's conference in Sydney. Because the conference is great, but also because I get to see my son. And I made a decision in my heart that I wouldn't go because it was time to let my son go, to literally in my spirit go, go fly, son. I made the decision, wasn't going to go for that reason. And then God spoke to me as soon as I made that decision. It was clear as day. He said, I'm going to give you a new home. I'm going to give you a new home. And guess what day we're moving? The exact day of that women's conference. The exact same day. And when I heard God speak to me that he was going to give me a new house, then I had to do something which is called put my house on the market. It sold in 3 days. Our house we put on the market to sell for a dream offering sold in 3 days. You've got to step out to step in. God's got a whole new season for you that you need to walk into. And this is how I see it this morning, is that we stand as a church and as individuals on the precipice of a whole new season. We can live the same year again. And it would be good, but it wouldn't be great. Or we can choose to be a people that harness a whole new sound. A new sound on our lips, a new sound with our hand, a new sound with our feet. And that's going to look very different for every life. And it's going to involve faith. It's going to involve faith. It's going to involve stepping out and actually, believing what the Bible says. Because my Bible says I was young, but now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Do we believe that? Do we believe that if we step out with our generosity and our first fruits offering, that God, my Bible says, test me in this. The trouble is we don't do the test because we want to stay comfortable. Oh, Jen, you're rustling my feathers now. Good. Because we want to stay comfortable. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be looking at just your faces in a year's time, as pretty as they are. But I want to be looking at the faces of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young, middle and old people that have come to know my Jesus. Hello? I want to be looking at the faces in a year's time of people whose bodies have been healed by the power of God. Of people whose whole psychological disorder has been healed in a moment in the presence of God. I want to be the person, because of the change of the sound in my life, that somebody else's life is touched forever. I don't want to be a person that's happy just living my life with my group of friends. I want to be a person that lives beyond me. Because at the end of the day, this morning, we stand in a moment in 70 years. 70, Phil. Better get cracking those next 10. Actually, I want to honor you, Phil, today. He's just turned 70. And what many of you don't know is Phil and Maggie have been in our lives since we arrived in England in 1991. And the morning I gave birth to my son, Phil drove to Manchester Airport and picked my mum up and took her to the hospital. And you're just the most incredible couple. You know, the Church of God is not built on people like Dave and I. It's built on faithful people like you guys. And I just want to honor you, Phil. You're the most incredible man. You're most incredible man. Had your challenges, found God in the most amazing way. And I'm going to prophesy over you that the next 10 years will be the most fruitful years you've ever had in your life, in Jesus' name. The most fruitful years. Hey? I want you to stand with me this morning, church. Do you know we access our future by a new sound? We wondered before we arrived today how we get from here to there. Well, I've just told you. We've got to change our sound. We've got to change the sound of our mouths from negativity to faith. Do you know doubt runs off our lips like a liquid disease? Faith is harder to harness on our mouths. We need to get our Bibles and memorize that verse. And when you're tempted to speak negativity, you need to speak faith. I speak every single day over my husband and son words of faith. Every day I prophesy them, just in my bedroom. Prophesy this, I prophesy that. You'd think I was mad. No, I'm speaking faith. I'm speaking what the Word of God says. I speak over you most days of my life. I'm speaking faith, I'm speaking growth, I'm speaking the growth of the kingdom of God, I'm speaking favor, blessing, influence. It's time we begin to do it over ourselves. Begin to prophesy over ourselves. May we have new advance with our feet. And then we do this, heaven answers. Call unto me, and I will answer you. And show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. All heaven is waiting for this morning is a change in our sound. And I didn't have time in the first service, but we're going to sing in a moment and then we're going to respond to God. There's couples here, you need to change your sound. There's people here that you need to change the sound of your wallet. It's too like the Presbyterian church that I was in when I was a kid. There's good Presbyterian churches, just in case that one wasn't. Okay, everyone here, just lift your hands to God right now. Spirit of God, I speak into the heavenly realms right now in the name of Jesus. A people that dare. A people that dare to believe what you say. A people that dare to step out. A people that dare, Lord God, to change the words in their mouths to words of faith. A people that dare to be different. A people, Lord God, that dare to step out, to step in. And Father, I pray for these people today that as they make steps that the enemy would try to intimidate them into stepping down. I pray that they would remember this morning. And God, you would give them a boldness and a courage to keep going and going and going and never quit. And Father, I pray that from this day on, Father, you would change the whole atmosphere over this house to an atmosphere of faith and believing for the impossible, because you are the God of the impossible. Come on, church, give him a hand of praise this morning. Amen. Amen.